Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. 1981 was a year of firsts. Ronald Reagan's first year as president, and the space shuttle's first mission in April and second mission in November. From Space Shuttle Columbia's first journey in 1981 to the last journey of Endeavour in June 2011, the space shuttle program inspired many Americans in many different ways. Today, we're focused on the space shuttle Columbia, known as the first in the fleet. She was named in honor of Captain Robert Gray's Boston-based sloop Columbia, which was used in the 1790s exploration of the Pacific Northwest, including the exploration of the Columbia River between Washington and Oregon. The Columbia became the first American vessel to circumnavigate the globe. During President Reagan's administration, from April 1981 to January 1989, NASA put the space shuttle to work on 27 occasions. As humanity's first reusable spacecraft, the space shuttle pushed the bounds of discovery even further. Sometimes the crew even received an unusual phone call, as they did 40 years ago this month. In November 1981, President Reagan made a special visit to the mission control area of the Lyndon B. Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas, and decided to make a call to the Columbia to speak with astronauts Joe Henry Engel and Richard H. Truly, who were in their second day of the space voyage. Let's listen. Columbia was the first space shuttle to fly in space, with its first flight occurring on April 12, 1981, the 20th anniversary of the first human spaceflight. The first of the fleet returned to Earth 2 days later, on the 14th of April, after orbiting the globe 36 times and landing on the dry lake bed runway at Edwards Air Force Base in California. Because President Reagan was recovering from the assassination attempt on March 30th, he did not speak with the astronauts, but instead issued a statement congratulating them on their successful mission. He wrote, "Your brave adventure has opened up a new era in space travel. You put new worlds within closer reach and more knowledge within our grasp. We thank God for your safe return. You were right, Captain Crippen, when you said that the Columbia and her voyage would mean much to this country and to the world. Today the world has watched us in triumph. Today our friends and our adversaries are reminded that we are a free people capable of great deeds. We are a free people in search of progress for mankind, and today we found a little more. We are grateful to you and to those who have worked with you. We are proud of you, and we are proud of our country. Welcome home. What's important about the second mission of Columbia in November 1981 was that it was the first time a spacecraft was reused. In total, Columbia flew 28 missions, gathering over 300 days spent in space with 4,808 orbits and a total distance of over 125 million miles. Tragically, the Columbia exploded upon re-entry in its 28th mission on February 1, 2003. In the second half of this podcast, we'll explore more about the spacecraft Columbia and honor those lost in its disastrous last mission. We'll be right back after this brief message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles, individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to the story of Space Shuttle Columbia. Following their first successful mission in 1981, the president invited the crew to the White House, at which time they presented the president with the flag that was flown on the first flight. Oh, and he was also given a flight jacket for flying or horseback riding. Let's listen to the president's inspiring remarks.
We're honoring today, that there are in our midst, as a great part of this audience, many who have been those pioneers out into space, our astronauts, going back to the very beginning of the program. Could I ask that all of you who are, who fit that description, all of you to please stand up? Very distinguished company, believe me. Commander Young and Captain Griffin, all the world held its breath in the silent moments of your re-entry. And when we finally heard your voices again, all the world knew America had begun a new age. A few moments ago, I had the privilege of decorating Commander Young and Captain Griffin for their personal courage and the honor they have brought to our nation. So honored Dr. Alan Lovelace, who is here with us today, but more about that later. I presented to John Young the Congressional Space Medal of Honor, our highest award for achievements in space, and to both him and Bob Crippen the NASA Distinguished Service Medal, the highest award the space agency can bestow. These men have traveled across the country since their shuttle flight, and I think they now must be conscious of and realize to all America, they have now become John and Bob. The American people have welcomed them with tremendous affection, and no wonder. Through them, we've all been part of a greatness pushing wider beyond the boundaries of our freedom. As I told them before they took off, through them, we all felt as giants once again. And once again, we felt the surge of pride that comes from knowing that we're the first. We're the best, and we are so because we're free. The space shuttle is the world's first true space transportation system. It'll be the space workhorse for many years to come. Soon we'll have the operational capability that will place cargo in orbit for a variety of users. Because we lead the world in science, space travel, we're on the cutting edge of technology and discovery. The shuttle will affect American life in both subtle and dramatic ways, bringing energy and excitement into our national renewal. The flight of the Columbia was a victory for the American spirit. John Young and Bob Crippen both made us very proud. Their deeds reminded us that we, as a free people, can accomplish whatever we set out to do. Nothing binds our abilities except our expectations, and given that, the farthest star is within our reach. To paraphrase John Greenleaf Whittier, we are the people who have thrown the windows of our souls wide open to the sun. We will follow as we can where our hearts have long since gone, and progress will be ours for all mankind to share. Americans have shown the world that we not only dream great dreams, we dare to live those great dreams. And now I would like to introduce a man whose leadership and high standards have made a success of the Columbia possible. Ladies and gentlemen, the acting director of NASA, Dr. Alan M. Lovelace. I'd like to ask John and Bob to join me. And Vice President Bush, would you please, sir, join me here at the podium? We brought you here to Washington, and I'd like to present it to you today. Suitable for flying or riding. It's a great honor for Bob and I to be here today, and we'd also like to make a presentation to the President that tells, for all of you who contributed so much to this program, just exactly what it's all about. Could you unveil it, please? Always significant to me that the United States flag is the biggest thing on there. Let's never forget that. And this is the Vice President, the same kind of memento. You won't mind if I only wear this within Earth's atmosphere. But thank you all very much. And now, I think there are two individuals here that you'd like to meet also, because I think they have to be just as courageous or even more so than those who make the flight. I think you'd like to see Mrs. Young and Mrs. Crippen. And we're back at ground zero. We have landed successfully. Thank you.
There were several more successful missions, and of particular note is the fifth mission in November 1982, because it was the first deployment of two commercial satellites, one for Canada and one for U.S.-based Satellite Business Systems. On that mission, Columbia was scheduled to perform the program's first spacewalk. However, a malfunction in the spacesuit forced the cancellation of this objective. Columbia did land safely on November 16, 1982, on runway 22 at Edwards Air Force Base. But when they were still in space, the four crew members received a phone call. Let's listen.
Hello? Mr. President? Yes. Yes, who is this?
Yes, sir. With all four
Meyer, William Lemoore, and Joseph Allen, how proud we all are of what you're doing, and how much our prayers are with you for success, and how everyone down here is watching, and how pleased we were with the beautiful send-off this morning. You know, some time ago, I had an opportunity to speak to some astronauts who were up there in one of the earlier flights of Columbia, and I asked them if, when they came over Washington on their last go-round, they'd pick me up and drop me off in California with them. And I'll repeat the request, they didn't do it. But seriously, we are very proud of you. And you know how much all of us here and down below are rooting for you up there. All of America is watching you.
Well, thank you very much, sir. It's a beautiful world that we're going over currently over the Atlantic. And we're very proud to be up here representing America.
Well, we're proud of you. And we're going to try down here to keep that world as beautiful as it is to you looking at it from up there. Sometimes I wonder, just seeing some of the results of your flights, the pictures and all, I wonder if more of us could see it from that angle, we might realize that there must be a way to make it as united in reality here on Earth as it looks from outer space. Over.
Yes, sir. We're in total agreement on that one.
All right. Well, God bless you and best wishes to all of you. And again, congratulations. Over.
Okay.
Over and out.
Following this mission in November 1982, the Columbia successfully completed 27 additional ones. Sadly, tragedy struck on February 1st, 2003, during the 28th mission, when NASA's Space Shuttle Columbia broke up as it returned to Earth, killing the seven astronauts on board. NASA suspended Space Shuttle flights for more than 2 years as it investigated the cause of the Columbia disaster. An investigation board determined that a large piece of foam fell from the shuttle's external tank and breached the spacecraft wing. This problem with foam had been known for years, and NASA came under intense scrutiny in Congress and in the media for allowing the situation to continue. The Columbia mission was the second space shuttle disaster after Challenger, which saw a catastrophic failure during the launch in 1986. The Columbia disaster directly led to the retirement of the space shuttle fleet in 2011. Now, astronauts from the U.S. fly to the International Space Station on Russian Soyuz rockets or aboard commercial spacecraft like the SpaceX Crew Dragon capsules, which began space taxi service to the ISS in 2020. In memory of those who lost their lives in space travel, we'll close with an excerpt from President Reagan's address to the American people after the tragic explosion of the Space Shuttle Challenger.
The crew of the Space Shuttle Challenger honored us for the manner in which they lived their lives. We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning, as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God.
Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.